Yeah, yeah. CL. Yeah. Yes, sir. The mother guys ain't got no style. We know what's up before it go down. This is the rundown. This is the rundown. If you ain't know the deal, I bet you know now. This is the fans' voice. You hit on vocals. This what the people need and what they want now. This is the rundown. This is the rundown. If you ain't know the deal, I bet you know now. This is the rundown. This is the rundown. This is the rundown. If you ain't know the deal, I bet you know now.
Yeah. Turn up. What's happening? What up, duck? What's going down, people? It's the homie CL. And I'd like to welcome y'all back to the Rundown Sports Podcast. Gotta know that. And thank y'all for joining me. You can always find us at therundown.com. That's D-A. At The Rundown Sports on Twitter. And if you like what you hear, go ahead and subscribe to us on iTunes. And if you're doing that, go ahead and leave us a nice review. Let us know what you think. See if we can make some improvements, because I want the best possible product for everybody out here. So, y'all know what time it is this week. Falcons versus the Saints, or Saints versus the Falcons, however you want to put it, in the Georgia Dome this coming up Sunday. I'm recording this on the Wednesday, the day before the NFL officially kicks off with the Seattle Seahawks hosting the Green Bay Packers in Fail Mary Part 2. But this one is all about Saints versus Falcons. So, I brought in two different guests. I have Brian Bieniemy from the Sports Hangover over there at 106.1 The Ticket. And I have Dave Schultz from the Falcoholic.com, who is the managing editor over there. Now, obviously, Dave is for the Falcons. So, first up, I have Brian Bieniemy from the Saints side of things come on a candid appearance over there on Google Hangouts on air, which I'll be trying to do a little bit more, but let's not hold it up and let's get right into it.
Brian, I got up with you earlier this week on Twitter because you had everybody going crazy with the Falcons tough mix. So I gotta get right into it, man, and you gotta explain to the people what's Falcons tough and what you did with it.
Man, it's real simple, man. Falcon tough is when you're a pretender. You know, when you're walking around, you know, thinking you're Mike Tyson, but you're really Glass Joe. That's basically how it breaks down, man. You know, it's everything you're not, but that you want people to think you are. And it was a spoof done by 680 The Fan out there in Atlanta that kind of wanted to give the Falcons fans some encouragement about the season they thought was going to take place, which was basically, according to their prediction, a 7-9 season at best, considering all the holes they have in the offensive line, the lack of a pass rush in the young secondary. So they basically just took a bunch of things from Hard Knocks, clipped them together, and made fun of the Falcons, like, you know, the guy playing the ukulele, you know, Joe Holly being an undersized center, you know, who basically has been getting blown up other than, you know, the fights he's been starting. And Willie Moore doing his little rap scene on Hard Knocks, so it was basically just terrible. A clip of them, clip of a bunch of things, man, clowning the Falcons. It was pretty good. I believe one of the old linemen on Hard Knocks, man, was singing "Feeling on Your Booty" in front of a room full of men, it's a bad sign.
That wasn't a rookie, was it?
Yeah, it was a rookie, but that's a bad sign when you're singing that song in front of a room full of men.
Hey, you gotta know that, man. Now, first question, off rip. What I've been hearing,
yes, sir.
Brandon Cooks is the absolute truth. How true is that statement?
It's as real as a $1 bill, man. I mean, he's absolutely everything that he's advertised, he is, and more. And the biggest thing is most of his plays have been, you know, without Kenny Stills, who's the other guy who can be a deep threat as well. So
right.
you're looking at him, you know, being the primary deep target, and he's just been electrifying, man. He's the type of guy that can take a 5-yard slant route 75 yards with the blink of an eye.
Okay, so give me a couple comps to him. Like, I heard coming into the draft, they was trying to just put him into Darren Sproles' role. But who does he look like to you when he's on the field?
He reminds me of a mix between Percy Harvin and Steve Smith.
Ooh.
Now, you know, Steve Smith for a 5'9", 5'10", guy, Steve Smith is pretty yoked, man. That's a Buffalo dude for a 5'9", guy.
Yeah.
But, you know, Percy Harvin, minus the injuries, is a guy that can flat out fly. And Brandon Cooks is kind of, he has the toughness of Steve Smith and the ability to run like a Percy Harvin. I mean, he's no Darren Sproles, not at all. This guy is a true wide receiver in every sense of the word, and he's definitely going to show exactly why the Saints traded up to come and get him.
I can't wait, man. I got him on my fantasy team. A lot of folks is mad at me because, you know, I use an auction. I saved me a couple dollars at the end. I said, you know what? I got to make sure I had a young boy this year.
Yeah.
Now,
good move, man.
I got to, man. You play fantasy?
Yeah, I do. I also have him on my fantasy team, man.
Oh,
so,
gotta know that.
They're going to show you. Yeah.
So you all in, bro. Now, I'm watching Hard Knocks every week, and I'm looking, I'm like, boy, after that Sam Baker injury, it's going to get kind of tight up front for them. Now, where do you think is the biggest mismatch between the Falcons and the Saints?
Well, the strength of the Saints right now, man, is the D-line. The weakness for the Falcons right now is the O-line. That's a bad combination going in right now. Just, you know, before they even get on paper, you have Junior Galette, Cam Jordan. Both guys had at least 12 sacks last year. You have rookie Jake Matthews, who's moved from right tackle to left tackle, and now you have Sam Baker gone, and you're trying to fill in pretty much with a makeshift offensive line at right tackle. Not really a good idea, man, when you have that staring at you. The addition of Jarius Byrd, Kenny Vaccaro back healthy, and Keenan Lewis, who should have been a Pro Bowl cornerback. I mean, you pretty much have a secondary that you can't throw on either. So now you got a pass rush and a secondary that can hold up. That's a bad combination for the Falcons. If they can't get into a hurry-up offense and get the ball out quickly, Matt Ryan is going to eat the turf all night.
First, going into the game, now I know you had your eye on the preseason. I haven't been able to watch any of it. Tell me when the game kicks off in around like third quarter and everybody is looking around at the game, who is going to get that? Who the F is that guy look?
It could be for offense or defense?
Either one.
I think defensively for the Saints, it's going to be a guy, Akeem Hicks. This could be his breakout year. You've got Cam Jordan, Junior Galette on the outside, but Akeem Hicks is a 6'5", 300-plus defensive tackle that moves like a defensive end. I mean, he's almost unblockable at times. That may be a guy to look around who's going to get maybe 6 to 8 sacks. And when you look up in a game in Atlanta, he might have 2 or 3 sacks and a couple of tackles for loss. And you may be like, man, who the hell is that guy? Who is Akeem Hicks? Offense, it could be a guy like, you know, Kyrie Robinson, or I'm going to say Tavarius Kadet. He's a Darren Sproles type of running back, man, who he could be one of those guys that Atlanta's not going to focus on, but Sean Payton knows that's exactly the type of guy to get the ball to, especially around the goal line.
Now, we all know Sean Payton is a savant when it comes to calling offense, so I don't doubt that he'll be able to do anything with the talent that you give him.
Yeah.
Just to wrap that up, man, give me a final score on what you think that game score is going to be.
For Saints Atlanta, man, I think it's going to get ugly. This is a game that the Saints are focused on because they realize exactly what happened to the Falcons last year. They won that game against Atlanta, and it kind of set Atlanta's entire season spiraling downwards. Same thing at this point. Get them while they're down. Final score, I have Saints 38, Falcons 13.
Ooh. Boy, I can't wait to see what my homies got to say about that one. Another thing is Shady McCoy is the best running back in the NFL. I really dare anybody to disagree with that, but I feel like he's going to have the most yards from scrimmage. Might not be bold, but, you know, some people are going to look at the Darren Sproles thing and just the whole, you know, nature of the beast and not being able to stay healthy, that many touches. Whatever you want to say, I think he'll be in the running for MVP. And like it or not, man, I guess we'll go ahead and bang on Atlanta one more time, but Atlanta going 7-9.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I can't disagree with that, man. If you looking for predictions from me, I totally agree with you about Shady McCoy. That's the best running back in the NFL right now, man. Okay. No disagreement there.
You think it's an all-around thing, right?
Oh, definitely, man. Mm-hmm. I mean, there's nothing that he can't do. I think my another bold prediction, I don't think San Francisco is going to make the playoffs.
You know I what?
They're one of those teams that's just ready for a fall.
I agree with you on that one. I'm looking at that situation, that Jim Harbaugh contract dispute type thing. This whole Aldon Smith going to be out for like 9 games, even though they did good without him last year. Things don't seem the same.
Yeah. Yeah, I totally agree with that, man. And another bold prediction is Carolina is going to flop this year. I mean, it's not, it's going to be, I mean, if you paid attention to their schedule, the first 10, 11 games of their schedule, it's absolutely brutal, man. I mean, it's no joke. They're playing elite teams, and they haven't all this together. They only have one offensive weapon in Kelvin Benjamin to throw to, and the defense still hasn't gelled and got healthy. It's very possible now that the league is putting this new domestic violence rule, Greg Hardy may miss 6 games. So, right. I mean, it's not looking good in Carolina right now.
Now, not to poke fun at domestic violence, but when the Saints come into the Falcons' home, will they get a call from the commissioner's office?
I think the commissioner might start the game halfway through. That's how bad the game gonna be.
All right, man. I just had to throw that one out there. It just was too easy.
Oh, yeah.
But, now, another thing I know I've been playing with is, like you said, the San Francisco falling off the table. That's a real thing. I agree with you with Carolina. I mean, Cam don't look like he's going to be able to stay healthy this year. You know, ankle, ribs, new receivers, top receiver is a project. That's not a good look. Gotta know you gotta do a little bit more than that. But that's what happens when you sign running backs for like, you know, $10 million a year each. Hey, man, we gonna go ahead and wrap this one up. Now, tell the folks where they can find you, Brian.
Man, I'm always on Twitter, at BrianTNR. That's BrianTNR. You can catch me every day, Monday through Friday, here locally in New Orleans doing the Sports Hangover Sports Show. We're at WMTI 106.1 The Ticket. You can find us on iHeartRadio. So, or you can go to www.1061neworleans.com and you can listen to us via that via live stream, man. We're all over the place. Sports Hangover Facebook page. We're all over, man. We're trying to do it real big for the city, man. Just give them a different brand of sports talk that's not just all talk, but it's also entertainment.
Right, that real good infotainment. That's what we're trying to do over here with the running.
Gotta know that, man. Shout out to that boy Brian Bienemy coming through and showing your boy some love and handling the Saints side of things for me. As you can see, not everybody is looking through clear lenses like your boy, but it's all good, man. That's what we got the show for. Now, coming up next, we got Dave Schultz from the Falcoholic. Also has some great things to say, so I'm not going to hold it up too much. Y'all just turn up and y'all listen to this right here. I got the homie Dave Schultz from the Falcoholic. What's going on, Dave?
Not much. Thanks for having me on, man.
Say, man, it's been an interesting preseason, especially with this Hard Knocks. I just took a little peek at the last episode. I didn't get all the way through it. But, you know, obviously through the news, I already know what happens at the end. But why don't you just give me a quick take, what you think about what you've seen on Hard Knocks?
Yeah, I thought it was interesting. I mean, the last episode was a little different in that they didn't really necessarily show us why some of these guys were getting cut. And, you know, it wasn't my favorite episode that way. But really, the whole show, it was a good look at, you know, behind the scenes, what the Falcons are up to, what some of these guys are like, you know, beyond a press conference, beyond those canned quotes you get, you know, in reports after the game, that kind of stuff. So, you know, kind of a different, interesting look at the team, and I enjoyed it for the most part. I think, you know, the knock was that the Falcons maybe aren't as exciting as some other teams, but, you know, I'll take that. That's fine.
Is Matt Ryan boring as paint drying?
Yeah, he is. He's, you know, I think he warmed okay. up to the cameras a little bit, but he's a boring guy.
Okay, just had to get you on record saying that.
Yeah.
Now, to talk a little junk from the Saints side, I had told you about the Falcons tough thing off the air, and now you might have not heard it, but basically they kind of just did a little montage spin on what they did on 680 The Fan, and just added some not so flattering music behind it. You know, a little R. Kelly and. I think it was some Jeremiah on there. They kind of went in on them. But I just came off of your website, and it's in both directions. Now, I had a doozy of a time with one of those fan posts, but I don't know, man. So just real quick, before we start previewing the game, what's the pulse of the fans over there on the Falcoholic right now? How are they feeling as far as being optimistic on this season?
You know, they're feeling really optimistic. I think, you know, most people are saying, well, you know, maybe we're not going to make the playoffs, but I think we got a good shot at a winning record. And, you know, after last year, that's a big deal. They were pretty bad last year. It was not a lot of fun for the average Falcons fan to watch. So that's really a good thing, but I think that everybody's a little bit nervous, even if they don't want to admit it, because, you know, this is about the biggest test you're going to get all year, and you're getting it in week one, you know, big rival, great team in the Saints. So, you know, I'd say it's kind of cautiously optimistic right now.
Yeah, and that kind of brings me up to my first point I wanted to make about the Saints and the Falcons. To me, it's really an underappreciated rivalry, because there has been a few primetime games here and there, but I feel like it gets disrespected, especially now with, like, Seattle and San Francisco really going at it with the recent success that they had. And it's like right before that, it was always Pittsburgh and Baltimore, and kind of, you know, the New Orleans, Atlanta was right there underneath it, but it never really got its chance to shine. Now, I don't want to go off on a tangent, but I really want the NFL to say, you know what, this is one of the best rivalries around.
It is, and that's the thing. It gets its appreciation sometimes, and then other times it doesn't. I mean, obviously, you know, I think some of the luster's come off it because the Saints have been winning the series for a while now with Sean Payton, which obviously none of us are happy about, but Falcons, and I said, there's no way they're looking past the Falcons, because no matter how one-sided the win-loss has been over the last few years, you know, the Falcons always play these games close. These are always tough games. They take a lot out of both teams. These teams don't like each other. The fans don't like each other, you know. So when you look at the quality of the game, you look at that history of the rivalry, it really should be, you know, getting more due than it does.
Yeah, man, so I might do a little post on that just to put my little voice out there. But let's go ahead and break down the game a little bit, and because I want to ask you a few interesting questions that I also asked Brian about the Saints. Now, to begin with, I really need some clarity on what is the situation at running back. Steven Jackson hasn't played the whole preseason. Freeman has been getting the run. He's the high draft pick. But that guy Smith seems like every time he get a chance in the screen, he's taking it to the house. What's going on over there?
It's kind of a mess right now. I think the Falcons are hoping that Steven Jackson's healthy. They're saying he's healthy, and he's going to be, you know, the lead dog in the backfield. He's going to be the guy getting the bulk of the carries. But then, you know, it gets muddled behind him. And if he gets injured, it's really not clear who's going to step up because, you know, Freeman's still listed as fourth on the depth chart. He's done well in preseason, but he's not a great blocker yet. He's not great on special teams yet. So that's going to make him probably, you know, if not inactive, he's not going to play a ton. But Smith is a guy you have to get the ball. You know, he breaks 60-yard runs like it, you know, the easiest thing in the world. It's great to watch. And Jaquizz Rodgers, I mean, he gets kind of left out.
I forgot about him.
Yeah, he gets left out of the conversation because he's not a great runner, but he's probably, you know, the best blocker on the position, and he's certainly the best pass catcher. So he's got his role, especially on third down. So you're going to see all of these guys get some time. But, you know, as long as Jackson's healthy, he's still the man.
Okay, we're going to come back to Jackson because they had an interesting stat on him. Now, next, I kind of want to know, in your opinion, what's the biggest mismatch that the Falcons have in their favor? I don't see a lot of potential mismatches, but maybe you see one that I don't.
Well, I look at, and you know, this might just be me, but I look at the Falcons wide receivers, particularly Jones and Roddy White, going up against those Saints corners, and Keenan Lewis is a good corner.
Okay.
But, you know, Patrick Robinson, some of the other guys you got there, not so much. So it's like, you know, you can't put Keenan Lewis on two guys. And I know they got a ton of safeties. Rob Ryan's great, so figure something out. But, you know, I do think there's a potential mismatch there. I think if the Falcons move their guys around, they can find some open receivers.
Okay, I'll give you that one because it is kind of a mess. Still don't know who's going to be the number two quarterback. They just cut Champ Bailey. I'm hearing it might be undrafted rookie Brian Dixon, but I don't know. Like you said, I'm hoping Rob Ryan go ahead and get that figured out because I don't really want to be wondering who's got Julio. That's not a good look.
No, that's not a good look at all.
Now, spinning it forward, maybe like second, third quarter, there's going to be like two or three plays by somebody that's going to make either side say, who the heck is that guy making those plays out there? Who is that guy going to be on the Falcons?
I'm going to say it's going to be Levine Toilolo, and not just because I like to say his name, but because, you know, this guy, he was quiet all preseason. We don't really know what we got with him, but he's a 6'8" tight end, and he can jump. And so you take a guy like that, you put him in the red zone, you put him in the end zone, and that's a tough thing to defend. So I think that he's going to be the guy that when they're down there near the goal line, they're going to be looking his way. And so, you know, he could score, and you're definitely going to know his name after that.
Okay. Now, last but not least, give me a final score on what do you think this week one Saints versus Falcons at the Georgia Dome is going to be?
You know, I'm always aware that I might jinx it, but I got to go with my gut on this one. I think it's going to be a real close game, but I think, you know, the Falcons are home, and I like their chances, especially this first week. I think they're going to have some tricks up their sleeve that hopefully they can carry through the season. So I'm going to say, 31-28 Falcons.
Okay, well, that's a lot closer than the previous prediction that I just had on the podcast. I don't know if it was just a little Saints fuel, but I got 31-13 in favor of the Saints.
Yeah, there's going to be a lot of drinking going on if that happens over here, I'll tell you.
I'm hoping that it does stay interesting all the way through because, you know, it's a lot of anticipation built in this game.
Oh, here's.
Now, before I let you go, I was looking at the Bravado board, looking at seeing, you know, where could I make a little bit of money if I did some things like gambling? But, you know, I'm not really into that. But I did find some interesting prop bets when it came to the Falcons. Now, I'm going to start with Matt Ryan. They have him at the over-under with 30.5 touchdowns. I referenced that by saying he had 26 last year and 32 the year before that.
Yeah, I take the over on that. I wouldn't take it by much. I don't think he's going to throw more than, say, 34, 35, but I think he's probably going to throw more than 30. You know, if he doesn't, it'll be because somebody got hurt. But, you know, with Julio and Roddy out there, the 6'8" tight end, I think he's got 30-plus.
Okay. I might go ahead and agree with you because I don't see them doing too much focusing solely on the running game like they have in years past. So I could see Matt Ryan doing, you know, 31, 32. So I'll rock with you on that. Now, well, you did bring up Julio right there. They have him at 90.5 catches, over or under on him.
Yeah, I take the over on that, too. You know, it's one of those things. I actually don't know. You know, I took an under on 1,500 yards or so with him just because I think they're going to split things up a little bit. You know, he's not going to get all long bombs. But there's no way if he's healthy he finishes with less than 90-plus.
Now, it's funny you said that. I purposely withheld the stats that I had to back that up. But obviously, last year he only played 5 games and had 41, so he was well on pace. But the season before that, he played all 16 games and only had 79.
Yeah, it's tough. I mean, it's one of those things you never really know because they do like to spread the ball around. But, you know, he's probably better than he's ever been. And Roddy White, you know, still as good as he is, it's getting older. So I just can't see. No Tony Gonzalez either. So that makes a difference to me.
Okay, you know what? That's fair enough. I mean, you saying Tololo might jump out the gym, but it's probably a pretty good chance he'll get 90 balls. That and the fact that I'm still curious to see if Roddy White is going to end the season in one piece. So we'll keep an eye on that. Now, last but not least, since we're talking about the offensive side of the ball, let's wrap it up by saying – by talking about Steven Jackson. 8 straight 1,000 yards in his career. 1,045 yards his last year with the Rams. And because of injury, 543 yards with the Falcons. The over-under on Steven Jackson is 725 yards. That's basically asking you, do you think he will play 10, 12, or 16 games? Because if you think he's going to play 12, that's about right. If you think he's going to get 16, I don't see no problem with him getting over 1,000 again. Where are you on that?
Yeah, I've kind of got built into my predictions for him that he's going to miss a couple games, or that he's going to be limited for a couple of games along the way. I just think that's what happens with all the running backs, but I look at him and I see absolutely no reason that he'd do under 720 unless something catastrophic happens. And, you know, I don't expect it. So I'd take the over on that, too. I guess I'm going to take the over on everything.
Now, what if he kind of fell back into, like, a little committee role where, I don't know, maybe like halfway through the season, Freeman starts getting a little more juice?
Yeah, I mean, that could definitely happen. I think even if it does, I don't expect Freeman to take over to the extent that Jackson would be, you know, getting 20, 30, 40 yards a game instead of 50 to 80, which I think is kind of the sweet spot there. So, you know, for me, Freeman's got to make a lot of progress on blocking over the next few weeks before the coaching staff's even going to think about giving him the carries he probably deserves. So, you know, I just can't see it happening that fast. Maybe it does. I kind of hope it does. I want good things for Freeman, but I don't think it'll happen until late in the season if it happens at all.
I mean, man, I wish I could see a little bit more of that offensive line, because now that I'm thinking about it, there shouldn't be no problem with Steven Jackson getting at least 750 yards, let alone 725. So, I don't know. You got to bet it beforehand, but I'm thinking, yeah, he's going to over 2. So you can call me optimistic on the numbers, maybe because I like fantasy a little too much. But I don't know. Those are some actually pretty good bets, though. If any of you out there that wish to go ahead and do that, Go ahead, jump on pregame.com. I know right now they're doing a little special with like $50 in free bets. See what I did there? That was quick. Now, I appreciate you coming on, Dave. Where you going to be at on Sunday?
I'm going to be parked in front of the TV, parked in front of my computer, doing the live blog of the game. So it'll be the same as always, but it'll be a good time. I can't wait.
All right, man. Tell the people where they can find you.
Yeah, you can find us at www.thefalcoholic.com or on Twitter at thefalcoholic.
All right, man. I appreciate the time, Dave, and you take care.
Hey, thanks a lot, man.
All right, man, that was Dave Schultz from The Falcoholic. Shout out to him for coming on to the Rundown Sports Podcast and showing your boy some love. Now, if you wasn't ready for Saints versus Falcons Week 1, you should be now. And y'all just come on over to therundown.com or get up with me at CL The Main Event on Twitter. Get involved with the conversation. Leave your comments. Let me know what y'all thinking. And if it's something you want me to bring up on the show, use the hashtag DRDS. And we out here. Peace.